Broadcasting from the Taz and Lake Lodge Studios on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Heard in Minnesota, the Dakotas, Wisconsin, and online at sportingjournalradio.com. This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX. Now here's your host, Brett Amundson.
Welcome to the show. We got a really good one for you this week. A lot of different interesting things. First of all, we want to welcome some new listeners. Last week we started on AM 1270 Super Talk in Bismarck, and this week we're starting in Brookings. So a couple of brand new affiliates, AM 910 The Ranch in Brookings. Thank you, affiliates, for carrying the show, and we welcome you listeners to the outdoor world of Sporting Journal Radio. I'm your humble host, Brett Amundson. We got some really cool stuff this week, as I said. From Brookings, Max Barta is going to join us. He films for some TV shows. He's on the road. In fact, he's on the road right now filming for a TV show. We'll find out what he's doing, where he's at, and where you can see his work and what he thinks of Brookings. We're also going to hear from Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department for you listeners in Bismarck. Get you caught up in what's going on in the outdoor world in North Dakota. Tiny apparently wants to be on the show right now. This will probably be her only appearance of the show. Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism will get us caught up with a Lake of the Woods fishing report. Randon Olson checks in from Lockjaw Guide Service in Ottertail County. Ben Bredigan will also tell us what the latest with OnX is and what you can do with the app to make your outdoor experience better. And Darwin Sumner from the Red Lake Nation. He guides for fishing year-round up there. There's a unique stream trout fishing opportunity on the Red Lake Reservation in northern Minnesota that he's going to tell us about. So you'll be able to find out how you can go fish for rainbows and brookies in Minnesota and have a pretty good time while you're doing it in a unique part of the state. All right, Ben Bredigan from OnX joins us once again here on the show. Ben, are you ready for winter to be over yet? Or are you enjoying this?
Oh, you know, I think that we're finally out of the deep freeze, so I don't know if I can say I'm enjoying it. I'm ready for spring.
Yeah, for sure. You turkey hunt a lot, don't you?
Yes, I do. I'm looking forward to chasing a few birds across the country this spring. So,
really?
A few more months here.
Are you gonna try to get the slam, or what are you gonna do?
No, I'm just gonna. I'll probably travel a little bit. I'm definitely going to go try to do Montana, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and we'll see. You know, maybe there's a wild card in there, Kansas, Nebraska. Who knows?
Hmm. Well, I plan on shooting at least one turkey this year, finally. I feel like I'd never have time for it. I'm usually just wrapping up the spring snow goose season, and I'm caught in transition mode. And then last few years around where I'm at in western Minnesota, we just haven't had a lot of turkeys. I don't know what the deal was, but I think we got a few more around this year. So I'm looking forward to this spring. And you've been obviously busy with OnX this winter. I know things have been going real well there. What's the latest with OnX, Ben?
So if you guys haven't seen our elite member benefit. So essentially, if you sign up as an elite customer, you get access to all these great brands, Federal, Lacrosse, Primos, Gerber, just a bunch of brands. So we just added Hunt and Fool, it's called. And if you're somebody who likes to go out west and chase after elk, big game, whatever, it's a great resource. So if you sign up for elite membership, you get this free. And they have a lot of great perks to this using this. So, for example, let's just say I'm applying in three or four different states. Let's say New Mexico, Colorado, Montana. I can put in all that information into Hunt and Fool, and it'll tell me how much it's going to cost me to apply for different states, as well as they have a consultant side of it as well. So you can call someone who is pretty knowledgeable about, you know, hunting big game across the West, and you can talk about different zones, how long it's going to take you to draw there, pretty much everything you need to know to apply for areas. Because if you've ever applied out West, you know that each state is different. And it's just a web. And you know, once you finally have it for one state, you go from, let's just say, New Mexico to Utah, life changes. So they'll help you get dialed in for your next Western hunting adventure.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that's the most daunting part of trying to do one of those out west hunting trips is just figuring out when to apply, what you need to get, where you can go. So if I get an elite membership with OnX, I'll get that service for free?
Yep, exactly.
Interesting. Through the Hunting Fool. Okay. That's very cool. Where do I find that information, Ben?
So if you go to onyxmaps.com, you can become an elite member. And then on the top bar of the onyxhunt.com, you'll see the elite member benefits and click on Hunt and Fool and get access and get ready to plan for this spring. There's a lot of deadlines that are on the doorstep right now. So if you're going to do it, this is the time to be looking into it.
Have you been following what's been going on in Montana?
Yes, I have. It's been interesting. That's for sure. It could definitely change some things for non-resident hunters.
Right. Yeah. So what is it? 60% of tags would go to guides and outfitters, essentially the non-resident tags.
Yeah. Something like that. So it, you know, for a do-it-yourself hunter, that definitely isn't ideal.
That's right. Well, Ben, people want to learn more about Onyx or download the app. Where should they go?
You can find it on the App Store or on Android, as well as onyxmaps.com.
I've been on Onyx more on my computer than I have on my phone lately.
Yeah, I agree. Just a bigger screen, easier to do, especially when you're planning for a hunt. It makes it a lot easier on our web app.
Well, when you're sitting home and can't go anywhere, it's kind of fun to just cruise around on the Onyx Maps on there. Ben Bredigan, thanks for the time here on the show.
Thanks, Brett.
Onyx Hunt. Ever heard of it? Next time you see that guy at your local shop who always punches his tag on a stud whitetail, ask him. He'll tell you about the most trusted source for mapping, with nationwide landowner names, private and public land boundaries, including walk-in areas, map tools to mark spots, and the ability to view your maps without cell service. And that's just scratching the surface. It's your time to be known as the big buck guy around town. Download the leader in hunt mapping on Google Play or the App Store. Onyx Hunt. Know where you stand.
Time for your North Dakota Game and Fish Outdoors Report with our old radio pal, Doug Lear. It's brought to you by Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. Chase and perch with snow bears. Go to haybaleheights.com.
Well, winter's not yet over, but the 2021 Spring Light Goose Conservation Order has been set. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. North Dakota Spring Light Goose Conservation Order opens February 20th and continues through May 9th. Residents must have a valid current season hunting license. The 2020 license is valid through March 31st. Then starting April 1st, your new 2021 license is needed. Resident hunters aged 16 and older need a combination license or both the small game and general game and habitat licenses. Resident youth under age 16 only need the general game and habitat license. The 2021 license will be available for purchase beginning March 15th. Non-residents need a 2021 Spring Light Goose Conservation Order license. The cost is $50 and it is valid statewide. Non-residents who hunt in the spring remain eligible to buy a fall season license. The spring license does not count against the 14-day fall waterfowl hunting season regulation. In addition, non-resident youth under age 16 can purchase a license at the resident fee if their state has youth reciprocity licensing with North Dakota. Federal duck stamp is not required for either residents or non-residents. Licenses are available online at the Game and Fish Department website, gf.nd.gov, or by calling 800-406-6409. Hunters must also register annually with the Harvest Information Program prior to hunting in each state. The HIP number obtained for North Dakota Spring Conservation Order is also valid for North Dakota's fall hunting season. The spring conservation order is only open to light geese, which includes snows, blues, and Ross's geese. To learn more about hunting, fishing, and spending time outdoors, log on to the Game and Fish Department website at gf.nd.gov. That's this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Hay Bale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. All right, there's a number of outdoor opportunities taking place across the region that are kind of unique right now. We're going to head up to Otter Tail Lakes Country and check in with Randon Olson. Randon, have you done much fishing for sturgeon up there?
We do it here and there. A lot in the boat. We've tried it a bunch. You know, we've got really good opportunities for sturgeon around here. They stocked them back in 2000 in the Otter Tail River chain, and they've really taken off. So there's a lot of opportunities here. It's just, it's kind of untouched yet.
Yeah, I don't think people realize that, you know, they put some in Big Stone too, and everybody thinks of the St. Croix or the Rainy River for sturgeon, but the opportunities to catch decent sturgeon, and they hit that 40-inch mark pretty quick. They grow pretty fast early, and then they slow down considerably. So you can get some decent fish not long after they've been stocked. So it's kind of cool, and the reason I bring it up is it's not necessarily a Otter Tail County situation, but the Fond du Lac spearing season has been going on over in Wisconsin, and I went over there for a number of years and tried to spear a sturgeon, and there's a lot of discussion about it right now. And every year somebody posts a picture of a big sturgeon getting speared in Wisconsin in a Minnesota group, and then the whole group is on fire because people are either don't know about it or don't like the spearing or are think it's awesome or whatever. It's some pretty interesting discussions. You can get in a lot of trouble getting into some of those threads in the Minnesota groups, but it's completely different than what's going on in Minnesota. Like the sturgeon in Minnesota is a pretty healthy success story. They were definitely in trouble for many, many years, but the DNR has done a pretty good job trying to bring them back and cleaning up some of these waters that they're living in. Whereas that Fond du Lac Winnebago fishery over there has been managed for sturgeon spearing for almost 100 years now. It's pretty wild over there. So basically, long story short, Randon, is this summer I want to come up to Otter Tail and try to catch some of those sturgeon, because I think there's a pretty cool story that came out of your neck of the woods a few years back about a tagged sturgeon, and I want to say it was either tagged in Otter Tail County and then caught up in like by Winnipeg, or it was tagged up there and caught down here in Minnesota. Like that thing had traveled all the way up the Red River. It was a pretty wild journey. I don't know if you heard about that one at all.
I did hear about that one, and that was a really cool story to listen to.
All right, well, we better talk ice fishing here, because that's what people are probably thinking about a little bit more. It's been so cold lately, Randon, but the weather really hasn't changed. What effect has that had on the fishing right now?
You know, so far we kind of made it through unscathed. It slowed down a little bit right in the middle, like last Saturday, but. For the most part, the fishing kind of stayed fairly good. You know, obviously we're into that February time frame where the walleye fishing's really slowing down a little bit. But the panfish, the pike, everything else has stayed really, really healthy, really biting really well. And the tulipies have started already, which is
cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of people don't think of tulipies till, you know, late March or mid to late March, but there's a good opportunity for them through February.
Those fish are becoming more popular. It's interesting to see all the different fish species that are starting to get more popular with anglers. Eel pout are getting to be more popular, and tulipy, I think, and whitefish are getting to be more popular, not only as a catch and release fish because they put up a good fight, but you put one of those tulipies in a smoker, they're delicious.
Very delicious. And you know, you can, for the people that like to just catch fish, I mean, tulipy is about as good as it gets. It's almost better than bluegills because you got the size, you know, 2 to 4 or 5 pounds. And 100 fish days are not uncommon when it comes to tulipy fishing.
Yeah, I did not realize that we had those in Otter Tail County, Randon.
Oh, there's a ton. You know, there's 1,100 lake plus lakes around here. And
that's true.
A lot of the lakes do have a healthy, good population of tulipies in it. And the DNR website's a great resource for finding those lakes.
Well, I like to think of tulipies as a good food source for my lake trout and muskie and pike and walleye for that matter too. But you need to find me a good lake trout lake over there as well. But in the meantime, tulipies will be a lot of fun, and you've got just a little bit of time left for walleyes. And then if it stays cold like this, we're going to have good ice in March, Randon. What can people come up there and do in March?
You know, we got a lot of opportunities. You know, the houses have to be off March 1st, but that doesn't mean we can't, like with the rentals, I'll still pull them out for people for the weekend. As long as somebody's in them, they can stay. But great, amazing panfish opportunities around here. They don't call it panfish paradise for nothing. And you got all the panfish, the perch, the tulipies, the eel pout. We got a lot of opportunities that come through here besides just the normal game fish that people think of.
Gosh, I would love to get into a bunch of eel pout. What do you think? They're going to put some new regs on those fish, I think. Are you in favor of that?
I am. You know, for years you'd drive around on Otter Tail Lake and there'd just be piles of them sitting on the lake because nobody wanted them. And now it's almost turned into gold. So, yeah, I'm in favor of some regulations on that and protect what we got.
Yeah. Neat fish. All right. Well, if people want to do some fishing with you up there in Otter Tail Lakes country, what should they do?
Just give me a call at 218-640-0158. Otherwise, you can check us out on Facebook at Lockjaw Guide Service.
Lockjaw Guide Service and OtterTailLakesCountry.com. Brandon Olson, thanks for the time here today on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Looking for winter adventure? Might as well pick a place with over 1,000 lakes. Otter Tail County, Minnesota is in the middle of everywhere, offers a simpler pace, and has something for everyone. Find your inner otter at OtterTailLakesCountry.com.
Come ice fish the famous waters of Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world. Experience full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper house options. From the northwest angle to the south shore, Rainy River and Baudette, the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. Walleye, sauger, perch, and northern pike, Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, best fishing anywhere. For more information, log on to lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, now we're going to talk to Joe Henry up at Lake of the Woods, Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, and I know as the season drags on, or maybe I shouldn't say drags on, but as we get later in the winter season, we usually start talking about tip-ups for big pike. But as I just saw in a picture that you posted on the Lake of the Woods Tourism Facebook page, you can catch those big pike sometimes when you're walleye fishing too.
Happens all the time. It's amazing. And you know, I think what happens is those pike are spread out, and you know, those pike, when they get to be 40-45 inches, you know, 20-25 pounds, you know, a lot of times their diet is probably it's saugers and walleyes, you know, and you're fishing in areas where those saugers and walleyes are living. So heck yeah, I mean, it just happens. And you put a good good minnow or a good jigging spoon or something in front of a big pike and they're gonna whack it. We've been having a lot of big pike coming through the walleye houses this year. It happens all the time. It's funny. It also happens in the summer where, I mean, they'll even catch big muskies fishing for walleyes. So it's something that happens all the time. And I think it's kind of one of the neat things. You know, we all stay in Lake of the Woods. You never know what you're going to catch on Lake of the Woods. And, you know, whether you accidentally get into a big sturgeon or a big pike or a muskie. Heck, there's even once in a while, there's even a couple of lake trout that are caught in the Big Traverse in the South Basin. Cool. During the winter. Well, and part of that is, though, those big lake trout are living up on the Canadian side of Lake of the Woods primarily, but, you know, when the water temperature is pretty consistent in that low 30s, it's more conducive for them to travel. And some of them will end up in Big Traverse. It's amazing, you know.
Well, that was Travis Frank. He was fishing at Ballard's. Did it say how big that pike was? Because that was a decent fish.
No, people are asking on Facebook, and I didn't talk to Travis personally, but yeah, I know it looks huge, and you know, I'm guessing you know, 42 to 45 incher, and sure, probably 20, I don't know, if I had to guess, 22, 23 pounds, something like that. That'd be my guess. But no, it's a huge pike. He also had a nice hold on it. It looked like a very healthy fish. And he also released that fish to fight again. Nice.
Well, he knows how to hold big fish for the camera. So I'm sure it probably looks just a hair bigger.
I had a chance to work with Travis once. And, you know, one of the things we had to make sure we slipped in was a little bit of musky fishing up at Lake of the Woods while he was up. And, you know, he taught me some things. Just about figure. I'm not a big musky angler, but he taught me some things about figure eights and stuff. He's a very accomplished musky angler and a very, very nice guy, very passionate about fishing, but he likes his big toothy critters. I'll tell you that.
Oh yeah. Well, I fished with Bill, one time for muskies too, Bill Shirk. And that's when I really learned about the figure eights. Then we just filmed a Prairie Sportsman episode with Randon Olson. And, He stressed it too, and he said the majority of his hookups on big fish are on those figure eights, or he does an oval right next to the boat mostly, and then we ended up catching a couple of muskies casting, so you just never know with those big fish, and it's like that with big pike too. They can you can catch them anytime when you're even when you're out there walleye fishing on Lake of the Woods. And Joe, it's been so cold. How's the fishing been during this extended cold snap up there?
Well, surprisingly, it's been good. And, you know, there's always, when I say that, I always put that big old asterisk because, you know, you're 80% of the fish are in 20% of the water. So obviously you need to be on fish to catch fish. But overall, it's been pretty darn good. Now, I will tell you this, that when we get really, really cold temps or we get a cold front coming through, and that can happen anytime, or if a fish, for whatever reason, have a little bit of lockjaw, you know, it's good to know some techniques to get those fish to eat. And, you know, a couple of them, you know, I would say number one, don't be afraid to make some noise in that stained water. When I say make noise, I'm talking about using something like a rattle, a ripping rap, where you're ripping that when you get the vibration and the rattles in it. Also bright color, pink UV fire tiger, you know, that the gold chrome or the chrome blue, and like a number four size is what I like. But, you know, you can rip that thing, and the active fish will come in and whack it. At the same time, if fish aren't active, the sound of that and the commotion will still pull more of the neutral type of fish in, and then they'll slide in and hit your dead sticks. You know, another example of that would be a buckshot rattle spoon or any kind of a spoon with a rattle in it. There's a lot of different things you can do to get fish, to attract fish to come into your area.
People want to get up to Lake of the Woods yet this winter. Joe, where can they go for more info?
Check out our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Well, we're excited to be on in Brookings. We're happy to be a part of the ranch AM 910 there in Brookings. And we're going to talk to a Brookings native when we come back. Max Barta lives there and does some filming for some outdoor television shows that you've probably watched. We'll find out what those shows are, how he got into it, what he thinks of Brookings, and more when we come back on Sporting Journal Radio. Plus, then we're going to head up to the Red Lake Nation to learn about an exciting, unique trout fishing opportunity that you may have never heard of. It's on the way. If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
On X Hunt. Ever heard of it? Next time you see that guy at your local shop who always punches his tag on a stud whitetail, ask him. He'll tell you about the most trusted source for mapping, with nationwide landowner names, private and public land boundaries, including walk-in areas, map tools to mark spots, and the ability to view your maps without cell service. And that's just scratching the surface. It's your time to be known as the big buck guy around town. Download the leader in hunt mapping on Google Play or the App Store. On X Hunt, know where you stand.
Looking for winter adventure? Might as well pick a place with over 1,000 lakes. Otter Tail County, Minnesota is in the middle of everywhere, offers a simpler pace, and has something for everyone. Find your inner otter at OtterTailLakesCountry.com.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit HaybaleHeights.com to book your trip today.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio. Broadcasting from the Taz and Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, so Brookings, we're now in your town here on Sporting Journal Radio. We're on AM 910 The Ranch. Thank you, The Ranch, for carrying Sporting Journal Radio. This is the first week on the show, so I figured, why don't we get somebody from Brookings on the radio show this week to tell us a little bit about the community and to talk about what he does there and all the travels that he does, because he lives there, but he doesn't spend all his time there. And that's Max Barta. Max, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Brett. How are you doing today?
Are you from Brookings or where are you from?
No, I'm a transplant. Originally from Bismarck, North Dakota.
Bismarck. Well, that's perfect because last week we started on a brand new affiliate in Bismarck, AM 1270, Super Talk there in Bismarck. So there we go. Two brand new stations. You can cover both of them for us.
Yeah, perfect.
What brought you to Brookings then? School or what?
No, actually no school, just straight up work. I actually went to school for a couple years out in Montana, out in Bozeman. And then I had basically mutual friend that had a growing business, and he offered me a job, and I packed my bags and headed east.
That's awesome. Tell us about this friend and what you do.
Okay, so this friend, his name is Sean Weber. He's the owner of basically a production company, little advertisement agency called Dreamweaver Creative. And what we basically do is photograph, video, or do photography, and videography.
Yeah.
So we do everything from weddings to film a TV show and everything in between.
Yeah, I mean, the weddings are kind of boring, let's be honest. Let's talk about the TV shows, because that's what we really care about, because they're outdoor shows, right, Max?
Yes, they're outdoor shows. One is going to be a waterfall TV show, and then the other one's going to be a coyote TV show. So one with feathers and one with fur.
I like it. That sounds about perfect for us. So you knew Sean. Is Sean from Bismarck, too?
No, Sean's actually from a little town in Iowa.
Iowa. Okay. So how did you get to know Sean then?
From a mutual friend. Sean was actually taking a family trip out to Montana where I was going to school, and he wanted to go fishing, and I actually took him fly fishing for a couple days out there. And that's how we first officially met.
You guys do great work. Sean does great work there. And, you're doing a great job there at Dreamweaver. And tell us about the shows that you're filming for.
The waterfall show, what we do, we have to film 13 original episodes, and we travel pretty much from all the way up north in Canada, and we follow the migration all the way south. I mean, we've been everywhere from Ontario, Saskatchewan, Wyoming, Utah, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Missouri, you name it. So that is one of our favorite things to film, just because both Sean and I were both duck hunters before we were ever camera guys.
Yeah.
And so that's why we feel like we excel at doing that, just because we know what to look for. We know what the ducks are going to do. And we're just hunters at heart. So,
you know, that makes such a big difference. And the show's the grind, right? I mean, we should tell people
the grind waterfall TV.
The grind. We should tell people what it is. And that makes such a big difference. You know, I spent enough time behind a camera and then hosting a couple of TV shows, and you deal with camera guys. And I've had some just amazing camera guys that I've worked with that just aren't hunters. And they know how to work a camera. They know how to get the shot. They know lighting. They know framing, composition. But they don't understand how birds work. And it makes such a big...
They don't know how to hide either.
Well, I make this joke all the time when we're filming a TV show, that the camera guy is the number one excuse that birds flare.
Yep, 100%.
When there's birds decoying, if they don't work, it's the camera guy's fault. Even if it's not the camera guy's fault, you blame it on the camera guy anyway. But knowing how to hunt... Now, knowing how to hide and then anticipating what those birds are going to do makes such a big difference. It's such a huge asset when your camera guy is a duck hunter, when you're filming a waterfowl TV show. And I tell you what, whether it's stills or videography, Max, filming waterfowl, filming ducks, when you got the sun at your back and those ducks are fully plumed, maybe the greatest thing ever.
Yep. It's probably the next best thing is probably about 2 to 3 inches of snow on the ground. So that sun hits the snow and it reflects up on their bellies, and the whole duck is just lit up.
Yeah.
Growing up, I was a honker guy, but ever since I moved to South Dakota and found it's amazing mallard hunting, slowly but surely turning into a mallard hunter. So I like those green heads a little bit.
Isn't that funny? Like, I grew up as a duck hunter and loved hunting ducks, and then I slowly got into goose hunting, and then I understood, then I started to understand mallard hunting is a little bit different than duck hunting. Like,
yes,
like I'm a mallard freak now. Mallards, I used to call them mallard snobs. I'm a mallard snob now, 100%. And yep. One of the biggest reasons is just because I like to eat them so much. But I like hunting mallards. I'd much rather hunt mallards late season than sit in, you know, waist deep in a mosquito infested slough shooting teal that swim into the decoys. I mean, I like teal. I'll hunt them. I like eating them. But I would much rather lay in the snow in November and December for mallards.
In a cornfield or any kind of dry field like that.
Doesn't get any better. And I'll tell you what, is that maybe I'm getting a little bit older, or maybe I'm just getting more experience carrying a camera around. But I just spent some time with Corey Loeffler on that trip down to Texas and back. And there was one hunt we did with Falco where we hunted this, it was like a retention pond. It was a real shallow, real shallow pond that there's just mallards and these just beautiful pintails were just covered, just had it covered. And I had a gun, I had a license, and I had a chance to shoot, and I'd never once touched my gun. Like, I could not stop filming them.
Yeah.
It was just so cool.
Just because you're so in awe, huh?
Yeah. I don't know. I get freaked out. I want to get the shot now with the camera. It seems like more than anything.
No. That's kind of funny you say that, because right away when my first couple years working with Sean and filming for the Grind TV show, the number one question I ask, like, oh, do you ever get trigger happy? Like, do you ever miss pulling the trigger? And the answer was yes, all the time. Like,
all the time.
I was not used to just being behind the camera 24/7, because growing up, I would do both at the same time. I would have a camera, take some photos, whatever, and then just kind of flip flop, pull out my gun, shoot out a flock of birds, and then the next flock, do the camera. And now with filming for a full time job, there's no gun there. It's nothing but camera. So,
yeah. I mean, if I could just shoot one or two to take home to eat and then just film the rest of it, it'd be the perfect situation.
Oh yeah, best of both worlds right there.
Max Barta, we got about a minute and a half left here, and I want to talk a little bit about Brookings before we let you go.
Yeah.
I think you and I could sit and talk about filming waterfowl for hours.
Yeah.
So
no, I mean, we could talk about a lot of different things for hours on end. So
we'll do this again, but let's talk about Brookings a little bit. How long have you been there, and why do you like it there so much?
Okay, well, I moved to Brookings probably, I think it was the spring of 2017. So this summer will be my fourth year there.
Cool. That's a neat area. I think Eastern South Dakota is a little underrated for people that haven't spent much time there.
Oh, yeah. And if you're an outdoorsman, I'm telling you one thing, Brookings is the place to be.
Hey, don't be telling, don't be giving away secrets now.
Yeah, I mean, did you guys hear that? No, but honestly, Brookings has so many opportunities for hunting and fishing, just to be outside. There's a state park not even 10 minutes away. It's awesome. I don't know. It's just a fun little college town that has great people. Everyone's smiling and waving and super friendly. And it's just a good old town.
And it's South Dakota, which can't beat. And it is definitely...
It's super safe. I've never felt not okay there. Like, it's just all around great.
South Dakota's awesome. And, Brookings is a good area. If you like to waterfowl, pheasant, deer, whatever, fishing is good. Eastern South Dakota is very underrated. You didn't hear me say that. Don't go there ever, please, because I want it all for myself and everybody else that lives there, I'm sure. Max, the Grind TV, Waterfowl TV show, and then what's the coyote show that you're filming for?
The coyote show is going to be on YouTube, and that is called The Last Stand. That is a Lucky Duck predator decoy show right there.
Very cool. We'll watch for it. Max Barta from Brookings, appreciate the time. Good luck with the rest of the trip. I know you're down filming a coyote show right now. Thanks for taking the time to join us here on Sporting Journal Radio.
looking forward to the next time we can do this.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk about a trout fishing opportunity in northern Minnesota on the Red Lake Reservation with Darren Sumner on Sporting Journal Radio.
Looking for winter adventure? Might as well pick a place with over 1,000 lakes. Ottertail County, Minnesota is in the middle of everywhere, offers a simpler pace, and has something for everyone. Find your inner otter at ottertaillakescountry.com.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today.
Come ice fish the famous waters of Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world. Experience full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper house options. From the northwest angle to the south shore, Rainy River and Baudette, the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. Walleye, sauger, perch, and northern pike, Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, best fishing anywhere. For more information, log on to lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio. This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
There's a unique fishing opportunity in Minnesota that I've been fortunate to take advantage of a couple of times in the winter. There's some summer opportunities there as well, but the winter time is really the exciting one for me that I've enjoyed going up to do. And when people think of Red Lake, they think of walleye fishing or crappie fishing, but I go up there for the stream trout with Darwin Sumner, who's our guest right now here on the show. Darwin, how's it going?
Hey, Brett, how are you? Trying to keep warm.
Yeah, it's been a cold one. I know where I'm at here. I'm a few hours south of you. I bet up in more northern Minnesota there, it's been a bit brisk.
Wow, it's like 35 below yesterday, and the power went out last night, so we've been kind of struggling with keeping things going here.
Yeah, you were saying, but what, they had a dig in the middle of the road or something?
The line went out right in the middle of the road, and you had to dig it up.
Well, how did?
But it's up and running now. Oh, that's hopefully good. It's going to get warmer in the next couple of days.
Did you have a wood stove or some?
I got electric on a Ripple. I think it's called some off-peak plan.
Oh, sure. Okay.
So that's what happened to me.
Wow. Well, how's fishing been this winter up there?
You know, fishing been really fantastic. It's all the groups been eliminated out. I think I only had one group there that missed their limit by one, and they had to leave kind of early. So other than that, it's been really good. Trout fishing's been fantastic.
Now, explain to our listeners the trout fishing up at Red Lake Nation, because a lot of people, I know there's a lot of people that do know about it, and we've done some TV shows up there, so the word's getting out. But for people that don't know, explain what it is that you do up there for stream trout.
So we got these four lakes that are stocked each year with rainbows and brookies. And people, our trout season is open 365 days a year. It never closes. So people ask me, when's the season open? It never closes. So it's open all year. And when they come up here, they have to get a reservation permit, which is $10 a day, or a season one is $50. And I suggest they get a $50 season one, because we got all these other lakes here in Red Lake other than the trout lakes. But they come up and we take them, and the limit is 5 fish per person, and that's a combination both brookies and I keep wanting to say smallies, because all I'm thinking about is small brookies and rainbows, and the kids for me 16 and under fish free, and their limit is 3. So
okay.
And you know, we got all these other guides over here, and I can't speak for them, but there's a few of them that follow the same kind of a deal I provide, you know. I don't know if they charge for the kids, but I don't, so.
Okay. And yeah, it was interesting to me to be a Minnesota resident and to be fishing kind of sort of in Minnesota, but by getting basically a non-resident type license to fish in Minnesota. It was kind of a unique experience, and that's of course because it's on the Red Lake Reservation up there. And the fishing, I mean, you guys stock a lot of fish every year up there, right?
Yeah. I don't know the numbers they put in them, but you know, they stock these lakes and they grow awfully fast. You know, they got a lot of forage in these little lakes. And people ask me, are these man-made lakes or natural? They're all natural lakes. You know, when you look on a map, you can see where the glacier receded and left all these little lakes all across here. I mean, all across the Minnesota, you know, but it's clearly visible how the lakes are kind of lined up all together. I did want to mention that, you know, people ask me too about the trout stamps. They don't need any trout stamps to come fishing with us. The reservation permit covers all of that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, the fishing is good. I mean, we've never had any problems catching our trout when we've gone up there, which I fished a lot of other stocked lakes in Minnesota for rainbows, and it can be a struggle sometimes. I mean, you can get your fish, but you definitely can spend a lot of time trying to get them. It seems like it's a little bit tougher to catch them, but we've never had problems catching them up there, and we've fished in different types of conditions. When we filmed for Prairie Sportsman up there, Darwin, it was cold. Like, I'm pretty sure it was, if it wasn't below zero, it was real close. It was single digits when we fished, and there was no wind, though we were down in this lake, and just the setting, I mean, it must have snowed recently because there was not a single track on the lake, and you have to drive back through the woods to get there. I always describe getting there as being part of the adventure of doing it, because you feel like you're back in the middle of the woods, back in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden here are these little lakes and just full of trout. So it's a unique setting. The fishing is really good, and it's a kind of just a cool adventure to do it here in Minnesota.
Right, you know that the wilderness area around here is pretty tough to get into sometimes with you know, four-wheel drives, even, because the roads are they're not maintained very well. You just gotta hopefully you know pick a really good rut, and you could actually close your eyes and go to sleep and follow the rut. You know, let the rut do it, get you to the lake. And but yeah, they kind of fixed up that road a little bit there to the Kinney Lake Road. Okay. So, yeah, and they're working on a couple more. Hopefully they'll get them done here soon. So.
Well, and I know you're an open water guy, too. You love bass fishing. There's some open water opportunities for us to come and fish up there, too, isn't there?
Oh, amazing. Amazing fishing for all species, you know. I had Jim Edlin up from he writes for the Star Tribune, and we went after 13 species in one day, and we managed to catch, I think, 12.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of guys do that challenge, you know, their groups, they do challenges for like multi-species in one day or a week or something.
Sure.
Well, you can catch like 12 to 13 in one day here. So yeah, we got a fantastic summer fishing, big walleyes, big bass, big crappies, big bluegills, lots of pike, lots of northern too.
And part of that deal is you have to hire a guide, though, right?
Yeah, yep. You have to hire a guide to come onto the reservation.
And how do people find you so that they can hire you to go fishing up there?
I got a Facebook page, Darwin Sumner, and then I got a Dreamcatcher's Adventures on there. And then you can also contact me by phone if you like. My phone number is 218-766-8406.
Okay, and we'll post that at sportingjournalradio.com, too, where you can listen to this podcast. And I know I was just down in Texas recently, Darwin. You might have been down there at the same time I was, it sounds like.
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks ago, and I went down there just to get out of the cold for a little bit and do some open water fishing. You got to take it's pretty hard to hit them little ice holes with a rod and bait caster 50 feet away.
That's right.
Yeah, we went down there for several days, and managed to locate a few bass. Man, it was really nice to get out to. We're on Lake Fork, Texas, and It was cold out there, but the water temperature steadily climbed the days we were there. And we caught some fish the last day, but the lake is, I go on the water at least 200 days a year, and open water fishing, I'm pretty fairly comfortable boating, but that lake is pretty treacherous. I mean,
oh, really?
I've seen local guys with some lower units off down there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's trees sticking up all over the place, so we had to take it easy. But we managed to get some fish, which was really, my wife caught a fish the second day. Wow, I was really happy for that. She says, I got a fish. Wow, okay.
Did you get into some of those big Texas bass down there?
Yeah, I think I caught a 5-pounder that was really nice, felt really good. Her bass was about 3 pounds, so really nice fish down there, and they were just starting to move up. So
okay. Well, they had
a tournament there last week in the Army team tournament, and they had to cancel it because I guess the snow and the ice followed me down there, and I got out at a distant time. So
yeah,
they had a heck of a storm out here.
Well, I was supposed to be down there again this past week, but our trip got canceled because of the weather down there. And I mean, there's obviously some treacherous weather for people down there, but obviously Texas isn't necessarily suited to handle some of the cold and snow and ice like we're used to up here. So, and we went down a couple of weeks ago. We missed out on some of that warmer weather. I think in the almost 2-week trip we took to Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, I think we saw 60 degrees one time, and there was a few days of 40s. But when we were in Texas, I think it was in the 30s and then in the teens or low 20s overnight when we were spending time outside pig hunting at night most of the time. So you'd think going to Texas, you'd warm up a little bit, and maybe we did a little bit, but definitely not as much as I was hoping to, Darwin.
No, we had some... I think it was like 40 degrees when we're down, and then you get a little bit of rain on top of that, and it gets pretty chilly, and kind of iced up. And
sure.
But the last day we were there, it hit 70, so that's when we did good on the fish.
Boy, I think we're going to see around 40s early this next week here. It's going to feel like summer. I may be wearing a T-shirt Monday and Tuesday.
I hope so, too,
All right. Darwin Sumner, fishing up at Red Lake. Find him on Facebook, Darwin Sumner. Otherwise, we'll post his phone number, too, on the Sporting Journal Radio website, sportingjournalradio.com. Darwin, thanks for the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, thanks a lot. I just want to put a plug in for you that people down St. Louis area seen the video you had of that ice fishing there, and they're really impressed with your work down that way.
Oh, well, thank you very much. The Prairie Sportsman episode we did?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, very cool. Well, tell them thanks for watching. I appreciate that.
Okay, yeah. Thanks a lot for having me on there. I appreciate it. And maybe we'll hook up again here soon to do some fishing.
Absolutely. Sounds good to me.
Okay, thank you.
If you've got a question, comment, or story idea for us, send us an email. Go to sportingjournalradio.com. While you're there, you can learn how to advertise on the show and visit our store for hats, hoodies, coffee mugs, and more.